مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مي يو كيب اسندينج سكسس سير سكسس.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. There are also many blessings in reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah, the final messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that no group of people sit in a gathering in which they do not remember Allah azza wa jal, nor send salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, except, meaning that a gathering in which you don't recite Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you don't remember Allah azza wa jal, we are told that this will be a loss for them. And on the day of judgment, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He will punish them. And Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He will forgive them. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the channel, please make a habit of reciting salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know we have a busy lifestyle, but nowadays we're always talking about multitasking, how we can do multiple things at the same time. Whilst you're driving, you can recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst you're traveling, you can recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst you're working, whilst you're waiting, there's many, many things that you can do, and at the same time, you can recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So try and make it part of your habit, your daily routine. And like we said many, many times before, who knows that one extra Durood e Paak that you recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. But dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the channel, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he would pay the expenses of his cousin, Sayyidina Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu ta'ala, a companion from Makkah who was poor and had taken part in the Battle of Badr. Now one day Sayyidina Mistah radiallahu ta'ala once upset Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he did so by sitting with a certain amount of people, and these people had laid a false accusation on Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's daughter, i.e. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Even though he was in that gathering, he didn't say anything, but because he was in that gathering, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was upset that you were sitting in a gathering in which they were defaming my daughter. And as a result of that, he made an intention never to help his cousin again. He'd been financially helping because his cousin was poor. So now he made a intention that I'm not going to help them anymore. And when he made this intention, an ayat of the Quran was revealed. Surah Nur, verse 22, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and those amongst you who possess excellence and have a capacity should not take an oath in not giving to the relatives and the needy and the immigrants in the path of Allah. And they should forgive them and they should overlook them. Do you not like that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you? And Allah is most forgiving, the most merciful. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this verse, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately realized, and he said, I want that Allah forgives me, so I shall never discontinue providing for my cousin Mistah radiallahu anhu. And he resumed his financial assistance thereafter. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers on the channel, from this we see that Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was helping his relative. And a question that we need to ask ourselves is, how would we react if we were in a similar situation? That our relative that we were helping, all of a sudden they did something to upset us. Be it minor, in this particular case, that person didn't even say something, he was in that gathering. And because he was in that gathering, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu got upset and decided not to. But when the ayat came down, straight away he changed. But would we change? If you were helping any of your relatives and they said something bad about you, they said anything about you, what would you do? I'm not going to give them any money. Forget it. Yeah? They don't respect me. Here's me looking after them. Here's me giving them money. Here's me helping them, you know, run their household. And they're saying this about me. Who do they think they are? We would turn around, and rather than not just stopping the financial, we would start to insult them. Who do they think they are? All these years I've been feeding them, all these years I've been paying their bills, all these years I've been looking after them. If it wasn't for me, they'd be this. If it wasn't for me, and we would start to insult them. But this is not the way of our deen. This is not the way of our deen. Our deen tells us to tie our relationships, not break our relationships. And things happen. We human beings, when you interact with people, there'll be times when I'm sitting with you, you're sitting with me, and there's something I'll say that you won't like, something you'll say I won't like. But we need to learn to overlook these. And what you need to do is you need to help and humble yourself in front of your relatives. Humble yourself. Yes, humble yourself in front of your relatives. Even if you need to humble yourself in front of your relatives, when they discourage you, when they put you down, then still humble yourself. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who is humble for Allah azza wa jal is granted a huge status by Allah azza wa jal. This loftiness is there. But this is through them people. That when the relatives say something, then instead of breaking them ties, we maintain them ties. And today, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about this, inshallah. But it's something that, whilst we're talking today, I want you to reflect. I want you to ask yourself the question, is there any of my relatives that I'm no longer communicating with? And inshallah, by the end, inshallah, we'll cover some of the points. But I want you to ponder over this. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to maintain ties with relatives, orphans, and those in need. In Surah Al-Rum, in verse 38, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, therefore, give the relative his right, and to the needy, and to the traveler. That is better for those who seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and only their objective has been fulfilled. And with regards to this, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah stated, this verse ordains for all rights of person's family to be filled. We also learn each relative has their own rights, without any exception. This verse also explains how good conduct and charity should not be displayed towards one's family as simply as a custom or out of tradition. It should be done purely and solely for the sake of Allah. Only then is a person rewarded for good conduct towards his family. You know, sometimes what happens is we help our families, we help our relatives, but we're not really helping them in the sense that we're just giving them enough, you know, to keep them on the breadline, to keep them low, to keep them down, because why? We're scared that if we give them too much, tomorrow they'll stand up and they'll start talking to me. They'll start saying something to me. I don't want them to, I want to keep them in that status. And that again is the wrong intention. If that's your intention, then what do you think your reward will be? What do you think your reward will be? Yes, if you're giving them that this is all I can afford, and you're giving them that as a result of all that you can afford to help them, is that they still remain in that status, then that's a completely different intention. But if your intention, oh, I'm giving them just that amount so that they stay there, they don't answer me back, they don't, you know, start answering me back and think there's something now, they don't get on their own feet, I want to keep them at that level, then what do you think your reward is? So in every act, our deen teaches us that in every single act that we do, our intention is questioned. Our intention is so important. The same act, you may give them a small amount of money, and if your intention is good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you. If your intention is not good, then you'll not get rewarded. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, fear Allah, in whose name you demand mutual rights, and be mindful of your blood relations. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla is observing you at all times. Our deen teaches us that every single person in your family has a right. Your father has a right, your mother has a right, your brother has a right, your sister has a right, your elder siblings, your lowest younger siblings, your paternal aunts, your maternal aunts, your paternal uncles, your maternal uncles, all of your grandparents, all of them have separate rights. In the same way that you have rights over them, they have rights over you. And that's the beauty of our deen. But unfortunately, what we don't understand is what we, as Muslims, we don't realize what our rights are, and we don't know what our obligations are to others as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi provides a graceful explanation of this verse that I just said. He said, the same way in which salah, fasting, hajj, zakah are necessary for Muslims, it is of a similar absolute necessity for them to fulfill the rights of the relatives. This is hugely advantageous, not only for our life in this world, but also for our death and our hereafter. So from this, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, we realize that if we understand how important it is to fast, how important it is to pray, how important it is to give our zakat, how important it is to perform the hajj. We understand this. In the same way, in the same manner, we need to understand what rights other people have over us and what rights we have over them. And we need to make sure that we fulfill our rights. And what's very, very important here that I want to mention is fulfilling people's rights is not always a two-way thing. Sometimes what will happen is I'll fulfill your rights, but you won't fulfill mine. Acha? Well, he doesn't do anything, so why should I do it? You know, deen doesn't teach us tit for tat, yeah? That he hasn't done it, so why should I do it? In fact, the reward is greater for that person who, if you help someone and they don't help you when you need it, or they don't want anything, they don't fulfill your eyes, but you still continue to maintain ties with them, you still be courteous with them, then that is the test, isn't it? You know, nowadays in society we say, well, I'm going to only respect him if he respects me. I'm only going to be a friend with him if he's a friend with me. But when it comes to your relatives, it's not like that. Especially your parents. Your parents don't have to earn your respect. You know, people say they need to earn my respect. Who needs to? Your parents don't need to earn your respect. The parents are due your respect, no matter what. You know, I know it's going to go slight off topic, but a lot of the youngsters today, they'll say, well, my parents don't understand me. Yeah? They came from a village, they came from a different time, a different generation. They don't understand the problems that I'm facing in, you know, this time of day. They don't know what problems I'm facing. They don't understand me. Number one, they don't understand you. I'll agree with you for a moment. Still doesn't give you a right to disrespect them. Doesn't give you a right to disrespect, irrespective. I remember this, someone said to me, beautifully they said to me, that okay, your parents don't know what you know. He said, I'll never forget what he said this to me, and I can remember the day he said it to me. He said, your parents may not know what you know, but they have seen more than you. And that's a fact, isn't it? Because our parents are always, they're older than us, without, you know, that's a fact. So our parents have definitely seen more than us. They've definitely seen more than us. They've definitely experienced more than us. And so as a result of that, we need to respect our parents and maintain them rights with them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said by Allah, if any one of you takes an oath to harm his family and he commits a greater sin according to Allah than that of dissolving the oath and making an expiation for it. So now they say, oh man, I've made a promise that I'll do this. I've made a promise that I'm going to do that. I've made a promise that I'm never going to speak to them again. I've made a promise that I'm going to not maintain ties with them. It is a greater sin for you to break ties with your family than is to break that oath. Break your oath, but don't break ties with your family. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullah, with regards to this, he said it is sinful for an individual to carry out an oath which infringes the rights of the relatives. For example, if he vows not to serve his mother or not to speak with his parents, it is necessary for him to break such an oath and fulfill their rights. Allahu Akbar. Sila Rami, we've heard this word. What does this mean? Sila means all forms of kindness and favor, and the word Rami denotes family ties and relationship. In Bahari Shariat, this Sila Rami has been defined as establishing ties between family members and treating them well. And this is our responsibility, to maintain them ties. To maintain them ties, not to break them ties. And what happens is that sometimes, you know, people will fall out with each other. Two brothers will fall out with each other. Years will go past, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you'll come to know to the fact that these two brothers are not talking to each other. And you go to them and you say, no, you're not speaking to your brother. No, I've not spoken to him for 20 years. Okay, what caused this? What was the instance that caused you not to speak to your brother? And you know what, I start thinking, you know what, I can't remember. And he'll think and he'll think and he'll think, and you know what, it's because he didn't invite me to his son's wedding. Or he didn't consider my daughter when he was getting his son married. Or something insignificant. And as a result of that, 20 years you've not spoken to your brother. 20 years you've not spoken to your sister. And when that same brother, that same sister passes away, you're sitting there crying. You're crying that your brother's passed away. You're crying that your sister's passed away. But for 20 years you've not spoken to them. 20 years ago they fought with you over a piece of land. You know, they fought over, there was an inheritance issue, and they fought over a piece of land. So what if your brother took it off you? A thief didn't take it off you, your brother took it off you, your sister, you've given it to them. In your own mind, think, okay, that they've not fulfilled my rights, but I've not committed a sin. May Allah Azzawajal forgive them. This is the mentality that we need to have, that if someone, our relatives especially, don't fulfill our rights, then as a result of that, we should continue to fulfill their rights. If we feel that they've stolen some land off us, if we feel that they've stolen some money off us, if we feel that they've done anything like this, then we should still have a positive attitude. And what happens is nowadays people will come to you and they'll try and stir things up amongst you, try and cause trouble and break your relationships with you. People don't want, you know, you get these shaitanic whispers that are people to try and break the families. They'll try and come and do this to us. They'll try and cause all sorts of problems within our family. But we need to have this mindset of forgiving, of humbling ourselves. What difference does it make? You know, there's one thing that I've continuously asked. I've been doing speeches for as long as I can remember. There's one thing I want to ask today. to the people that are sitting in this masjid, and after this, if they can answer my question, then please do. I've heard a saying in the Urdu language that when you seek forgiveness from someone that's lower than you, younger than you, weaker than you, not as strong as you, people have said to me, if you do this, then naka kar jati hai. Yeah, they say that if you seek forgiveness from someone that's younger than you, weaker than you, the nose gets cut off. I've not seen anybody with the nose cut off, you know, so please afterwards come up to me and explain this to me. I've not seen any, maybe, you know, maybe I've not lived enough, but I don't see this. But what I do see is that when a person seeks forgiveness from someone that is younger than them, weaker than them, or whatever it is, I don't see the nose fall off. What I do see is the respect increase. The izzat increases, the respect increases. The nose doesn't fall off. Show me that person, I'm waiting. You know, I've been waiting for a long time. If you know of that person, please bring him to me. Yeah, I want to see it. But I don't think it'll happen, it will not happen. Your respect increases. So we need to realize this as well. And another thing that we need to realize is that as Muslims, we commit sins, we make mistakes, we admit it. There's nobody here that can say, I've never committed a sin. There's nobody here that's fearful of the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. There should be nobody here that is not fearful of the fact that they're going to die and they're going to enter that dark and lonely. We all know that's going to happen to us. So what happens after every salah, after every gathering, we raise our hands and we say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal. Everybody says that you make all sorts of du'as. But one du'a you always will make, Ya Allah forgive my sins. You make millions of du'as, but Ya Allah forgive my sins. Ya Allah forgive my sins, but I'm not going to forgive you. 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 Ya Allah forgive my sins. What is this? How do you expect Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you when you're not willing to forgive anybody else? We need to have this forgiving heart inside ourselves to forgive others. And then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, Allah will forgive our shortcomings. And when we have a forgiving heart inside ourselves and we forgive others, then when we make mistakes, inshaAllah, others will forgive us as well. But if you're stubborn, why? Because you're wealthy? Why? Because you've got status? Why? Because you've got power? Why do I need to forgive them? I don't need to forgive them. Because I've got everything. I've got money, I've got land, I've got power, I've got education, I've got authority. I don't need to forgive everybody. Okay. But a day will come when you're in that dark and lonely grave and you'll be questioned then. You may be the strongest in your town. You may be the most powerful in your town. But when that day comes and you're in that dark and lonely grave, you're nothing, mate. You're nothing. You're finished on that day. You may be the strongest here, you may have the most money in your pocket here, you may have the most wealthy, but on that day, you know, when you go to the graveyard, I know it's slightly off the topic, when you go to the graveyard and you look at the graves, and some people put marble on them, some people put black granite on them, some people put wood on them, some people put all these things on, and above the graves, they all look different. Inside the graves, they're always different as well. You know, look at the graves and you think that this person looks like they came from a rich family because they spent a lot of money on the grave, and this person may be a poor family because they've not spent any. But what is above the grave has no reflection whatsoever on what is inside the grave. So the question is what is inside the grave? And again, today we need to think to ourselves about maintaining our ties. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one joining ties with relatives is not he who does so in exchange for good conduct shown to him. Rather, it is the one who joins ties when they are severed. We are told in our deen that join ties with our relatives. But joining ties is not someone that are very close to us anyway. I'm very close to my cousins. That's not joining ties, because then ties are there. Joining ties is joining ties with those people that are not speaking to you, not talking to you, not sitting with you. We need to sit, maintain them ties. And that is your test. You will have family members that you get on with. But what about those family members that you don't? So please, I'm asking you, I'm requesting you to go to these people and seek, you know, reconcile with them. You will get these shaitanic whispers. Shaitan will whisper to you, why should I go to their house? They've never come to my house. I'm not going to go to them. Why should I go to them? Why should we accept their invitation? They turned ours down. You know, when they've invited you somewhere. Well, I'm not going to go. Why should I go? They never came to mine. Forget it, we're not going. These people don't want to attend our functions and get together. Why should we go to any of those? You know, these are the shaitanic whispers. Why do we have to make the first move? How low do we have to stoop to please these people? These are the things that people say to yourselves. But at the same time, you know, like I said earlier on, that sometimes what happens is that, you know, you invite someone to a wedding, you invite someone to a gathering, and they don't turn up. Straight away you think, you know what? He didn't want to turn up. Do we ever think, you know what? I hope everything's okay. Huh? I hope he got home safely. I hope he traveled all this distance and he's coming from London. Maybe his car broke down. Do we ever think positively? Straight away we think negatively. Straight away we think, no, he didn't want to come. On purpose he did this. Maybe he got ill. Maybe he had an accident. Maybe he had a puncture. Maybe something happened. Maybe something important happened. Maybe he had to take someone to... Anything could have happened. But again, what happens is we don't think positively and we start to think negative about that person. And this is a general thing that we also need to. We also need to think positive about people. You know, nowadays you see people driving, young people, youngsters that are here, 25, 30, whatever it is, driving a fast car, a new car. Straight away, what do you think? Dodgy money. Dodgy, must be dodgy money that. What guarantee have you got? What proof have you got? You've got no proof of this. And secondly, what have you achieved by making this assumption that he had that car through dodgy money? What have you achieved? I'll tell you what you've achieved. You've achieved the sin of slandering him. You've achieved the sin of backbiting him. But if you think positive about him and think, mashallah, we should have this positive. Now, what have I gained? I've not lost anything. Now, people say, oh, you're so simple. You always think positive about people. You see people with this and you always think that they've not done anything dodgy. You're such a simple person. Okay, I'm a simple person. So what? I'm a simple person. So what? I've not got the sin of slandering people. I've not got the sin of backbiting people. I've got all these sins and I'm a simple person. Okay, I'm a simple person. I'd rather accept being called a simple person than be, punished for the sins on the day of judgment. You make the decision. They say that if you think good about someone, there is no harm in it. You think bad about someone, there's no good in it. So always think good about people. Someone said once, I remember reading it, that if someone was to come in to your room and you could smell alcohol, on him, then you should make this assumption that someone sprinkled a bit of alcohol on him. If his whole body is reeking of alcohol, then have this good assumption that someone poured alcohol on him. Do we do this? You know, nowadays what happens is someone's walking down the street, and you see them, and they've just walked past a pub. And you go home and you say, you know what? I saw Ali walking past a pub. And then someone goes to another, you know what? Someone saw Ali going in the pub. You know what? You know, you've heard these Chinese whispers. You know what? Someone saw Ali drinking in the pub. You know what? Ali's an alcoholic. You know, so this poor brother Ali is walking past this pub, and all of a sudden we made him an alcoholic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a Muslim should be a mirror of another Muslim. You know, before I came here, I put my imam sharif on and I looked in the mirror. And the mirror told me, you know what, you're not putting it on right, it's a bit this way, it's a bit that way. It told me. What the mirror didn't do is it didn't jump off the wall, run down the street and tell somebody else. It told me. It didn't tell anybody else. And as Muslims, we need to be mirrors to each other. Go up to that brother and, brother, everything okay? You know, someone saw you in front of the pub, you weren't inside, speak to me like, brother, what are you saying? I was crossing the road to get some milk and bread. Yeah, the shop was across the road. Khalas, khatam. But no, we won't do that, will we? Because we need ammo. We need this ammunition because we need to sit in these gatherings and we need to gossip about something, we need to talk about something. So we'll gather all this information without verifying it. We'll gather information, but we won't gather the confirmation. When anybody comes to you with information, get the confirmation. Because what happens is we act on information, we don't act on confirmation. And again, you're accusing that brother, you're slandering that brother, you're backbiting that brother, and you've gathered a whole burden of sins. Just by thinking negatively about people. So we need to be very careful about this. About our mindset, about thinking people. We keep on saying this, that we look like Muslims. We may eat our food that is halal, but do we think like Muslims? And a Muslim mind is that mind that looks to please Allah Azza wa Jal. A Muslim mind is that person that tries to maintain these ties with our relatives, irrespective, doesn't matter. They continue to abuse you, they continue to tell you off, they continue not to fulfill your rights. Your job is to make sure you do your duty. The renowned jurist, Sayyidina Abu Layth Samarkandi, he's mentioned 10 positives that come if one maintains good conduct with the relatives. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with you. That should be enough. We shouldn't need the other 9. Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with you. That should be our mission in life. You know, nowadays people talk about bucket lists. I don't know if you've heard the term bucket list. A bucket list is a list that people make nowadays of things that they want to do before they pass away. I want to go here, I want to visit here, I want to get a 3-bedroom semi-detached, I want to get this car. And they make all these lists of things that they want to do in their life. And they put the most important things at the top of the list. Yeah, I want to go here, I want this car, and they put all this list there. If we make a bucket list, we're on our list, or is it even on our list to please Allah? You know, we all make these plans. 2 years I'm going to do this, 4 years I'm going to do this, 5 years I'm going to do this, 10 years I'm going to do this. Where is on our plan to please Allah? It's not on our list. And that again is our weakness. That again is our weakness. Second, people become happy and content. Angels also become glad with you. Doing this earns one praise for Muslims. Shaitan becomes saddened. Your lifespan increases. We are told that your lifespan increases if you maintain ties with your relationships. Blessings are attained in one's sustenance. Nowadays we're talking around the world, here in the West, everywhere we're talking that, oh, we've got financial problems. You know, the inflation rate's going up. You know, there's this crisis around the world. There's that crisis around the world. Have you ever thought about it? From the Quran and Sunnah point of view, that why have I not got blessings, barakat, in my sustenance? Why am I struggling? And maybe, you know, one thing I want to give you today is, whatever problem you are facing in your life, when you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror, maybe that person that you see in front of you is the cause of your problems. What happens nowadays? It must be him. It must be him. It must be him. It must be him. What about me? What am I doing wrong? I must be doing something wrong. And very rarely do we question, we don't think to ourselves, I must be doing something wrong. I remember someone sent me, I read this somewhere. He said, I was traveling through Europe and I was hitchhiking. And I stood at the side of the road, you know, waiting for a lift. And no car stopped. And it started raining. And no car stopped. So he said, the rain continued. He said, I got wet through. He said, I got off the road, climbed down the embankment. There was a river there, a stream there. He said, I did wuzu. I read 2 rakat and I sat there. And I raised my hands, Ya Allah. You've not sent me help. I must have done something wrong. Yeah? You've not said, please, whatever I've done, Ya Allah, forgive me. Do we have this mindset? Do we have this mindset? And he said, I sat there. I repented. I didn't even know what I'd done wrong. Ya Allah, I must have done something wrong. He said, I came back up the hill, got on the road, put the thumb, and someone stopped and gave me a lift. This mindset that maybe I'm the problem. Maybe because of my actions, I've not got any blessings in my household. Maybe because of my actions, I've got all these problems. These are the things that we need to ask ourselves. Our love between brothers increases if we remove this. So these are the sort of things, my dear Islam brothers, that we need to have a positive attitude about people, have good opinions about people. Regarding good opinions that I mentioned earlier on, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that having good opinions about someone is an act of worship. It's an act of ibadat. That if you have a good opinion about someone. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, try and maintain the ties of relationships with every member of your family. And there's so much that I can say today, but you need to study this. You need to be aware of what your rights as an elder brother are, your rights of a younger brother are, you know, because what happens is sometimes because you're living under the same roof as your brothers and sisters, them are the people that fall out the most. You know, your friends that you only meet for half an hour a day, or you work with 3 or 4 hours a day, you don't fall out with them. But those people that you're with, morning, noon and night, you fall out with them. And that is your test. You need to maintain them ties with them. You need to have that patience with them. The elder brother needs to have that patience with the younger brother. The younger brother needs to have that respect of the elder brother. The younger sister, the elder sister, the paternal aunt, the maternal aunt. And this is how the deen teaches all of these things. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by he who has sent me with the truth, Allah azza wa jal does not accept the charity of a person whose family remain in need of benevolence, but he spends on others. Instead, I vow, by he who has power over my soul, Allah will not cast a gaze of mercy upon such a person on the day of judgment. What happens is, because we fall out with our family, when it comes to giving zakat, we don't give it to our family members that are worthy of it. When it comes to giving sadaqah, we won't give it to our family members. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that charity will not be accepted by Allah. If you have zakat, if you have charity, then first and foremost, you need to give it to them. And you hear every year that when we you know, the month of Ramadan comes and we make an appeal for zakat, the first thing that Amir al-Sunnah says, the first thing that Rukn al-Shura said, the first thing that Mubalik said, that if you have family members, give it to them first. If you have sadqa, give it to them first. Help your family members first. And then yes, if you have some left over, then yes, give it to Dawat Islami. But first and foremost, your duty is to them. If a person is approached by his close relative and they ask him for that which has been bestowed upon him by Allah Azza wa Jal to an amount that is greater than the need, but the merchant remains miserly, Allah Azza wa Jal places a large snake from hell with a flickering tongue around his neck as a necklace. You know this money that you got? Where did it come from? I worked hard. I worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I did a degree. I became a doctor, a lawyer, a barrister. I did this, I did this. I worked hard to get where I am. Okay. Who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the intellect? Who gave you the opportunities? Have you ever pondered, those of you that have traveled abroad, and many of the people that are sitting here today and watching this program will have traveled abroad. And when you've traveled abroad, you've probably traveled to countries where there is poverty. Have you traveled to a country where I can name many places where you'll see children sitting at the side of the road, selling pens, selling small combs, just to make enough money so that they can go home and buy some bread for the family? I ask you, what is the difference between that child and you? That's a human being, you're a human being. There is no difference. The difference is that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you. And you need to be thankful of that blessing. That Allah Azza wa Jal give you this. But at the same time, that blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you, remember this, on the Day of Judgment, you'll be questioned about that blessing. What did you do that wealth that Allah gave you? I had the biggest car in Birmingham. I get the biggest koti back home. That's what I did with my money. Yeah? And you're proud of it. Okay, I'm not saying it's haram. You can have the biggest car. You can have the biggest koti. Do all these things. I'm not saying it's haram. But at the same time, have you ever thought that Allah Azza wa Jal gave me this as a test? As a test. To spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. This health that I've got, this time that I've got, this wealth that I've got, this life that I've got. This life is a test. How we live our life. And this dunya is nothing. This dunya is nothing. What happens is we're running after this dunya. We run after this dunya and we forget the akhirat. This dunya, what is it? 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? As Muslims, we need to think differently. What happens is now our minds revolve around the pound note. Yeah, that's all we can see. Make money, money there, make more money there, make more money there, make more money. That's all we think about. Do we ever think about where I can get more blessings, where I can get more, where I can please Allah, where I can get more real? We don't think about this. And as Muslims, we are very, very fortunate. We have the blessed days, we have the blessed nights, we have the blessed months. Shab-e Barat, Shab-e Miraj, month of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, the day of Jummah, all of these blessed days that we are blessed with as the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But do we take benefit from them? Shab-e Barat, on that night we are told that more Muslims, more people are forgiven than the hair on the tribe of Bani Kalb. And Bani Kalb was a tribe that had loads of sheep, and they had a type of sheep that were very hairy. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, more people are forgiven on that night than the hair. How many was on that night raised our hands and said, Ya Allah, forgive the sins that we have committed? How many was came to the masjid on that night? We weren't bothered. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mani Chow, I hope that we've learned today that how important it is to maintain the ties of our relatives. And without a doubt, sometimes our relatives hurt us. They cause problems for us. But our job is to try and maintain them ties. Maintaining ties with relatives that provide for you or help you, that's not your test. Your test is going to them. So my humble request to all of you is that, you know, after this program, after this gathering, if you are upset with any of your family members, then reconcile with them. Life is very, very short. We don't know how long we've got to live. You know, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. If I've said anything wrong, then may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen.
O Muballigh, for you is my prayer. O Muballigh, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending, success, stay success.